Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you have bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. For this kingdom and the next one to come, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. How many people gathered here remember when the internet first came out? Remember when the internet first came out? Yeah, I remember when the internet first came out. I was in one of my first appointments in 1998. You remember everybody had dial-up, made a noise. You knew you were on the internet because it made this, and then it went nyang, nyang. Yeah, we all had dial-up internet, right? Well, I remember I was in my first appointment and I learned about regional webcams. Anybody ever heard about regional webcams? Regional webcams are actually cameras that are strategically placed around the world. And you can plug into one of these webcams, and if you wanted to see what's going on in downtown Greece, you can see it, what's going on at that time. If you wanted to see what's going on in downtown Italy, you could see it, what was going on at that time. And I remember a whole afternoon that I should have been doing ministry, but I just was on the internet looking at these regional webcams. When I came home that night, I was completely exhausted. Marisol looked at me. She says, "Why are you so tired?" I said, "I've been moving all day. I'm just exhausted. I'm going to bed." But I learned that with these regional webcams, it was just amazing. At the stroke of a button, you could be somewhere else while sitting behind a computer. You could be in Africa. You could be in France. You could be in Europe somewhere. Now, let me tell you that in my very first appointment, I was very disciplined about going to the office, about going into the sanctuary and praying before my day began. And all of a sudden, I figured out this thing called a webcam where I could go somewhere else in the world, where I could have this great escapism. And the next morning after finding out about these regional webcams, I actually went into my office and I thought, I want to see the sunrise in Hawaii, forsaking the sanctuary, forsaking my disciplines and my time with God. I went straight to my office. I said, I'm going to see the sunrise in Hawaii. This was in North Carolina. I turned on my computer. I turned on my internet. I turned on the webcam, which took me to Hawaii, and my screen was completely black. It was 1 a.m. there. But I learned something about myself that day. I learned that I could be easily distracted by the internet. Show of hands, how many people here have ever been distracted by the internet? Go on, bring them up, take them up. How many people have ever been distracted by their tablets, by their cell phones? Do you think if we didn't have these distractions in our lives, we might spend a lot more time with the Lord? I think that I would too. Today's text demonstrates the importance of actually listening to Christ's voice, of actually taking time to communicate with Jesus Christ. And it happens in a place called Mary and Martha's house. You may have remembered Mary and Martha, and they had a brother named Lazarus, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, here we're in the same location, but we don't hear about Lazarus. So Jesus is invited over to dinner by Martha and by Mary. And he comes into their house, and Martha is very busy doing a lot of tasks. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Now, by doing this, Mary is actually doing two things. First of all, she's listening to what Christ has to tell her. He's giving her instructions, he's giving her teaching, he's giving her mentorship. She's listening to Christ's voice. The other thing that she's doing is she's defying a social standard here. It was usually men who sat at the feet, or young boys who sat at the feet of the rabbis, sat at the rabbi's feet and listened for instruction. But this is what Mary's doing. She's listening to Christ's voice. And so much is going on around that Martha is being distracted by her many tasks. The operative word here, tasks. You know this word? Tasks are not fun. Tasks are something that we feel like we have to do. When something is a task, it's not enjoyable. You're not being creative. When something is a chore, it's just not desirable. Do you know this conversation? We have to do this in the life of this church. Okay, well, who wants to be in charge of coordinating this event? Well, if nobody wants to do it, why are we doing it? Well, we have to do it. But why? You ever been a part of that conversation? We have to do this. No one wants to do it. It becomes a task, folks. It becomes something that's just not enjoyable. And for some reason, we just feel this obligation to do it for reasons unknown to us. Coming up, we're having our annual church conference. And very soon, I'll be getting the lay leadership team together. We'll be doing the job of nominating people for various responsibilities in the life of the church. And it never fazes me. This will happen at some point in the life of this church. Maybe not this year, maybe some year. But I'll call someone and say, you know, I think you have the gifts and the graces not only to fulfill this position, but I think you'll bring a lot to this committee. And on the other end, I'll hear this. Well, I guess if no one else wants to do it, I will. Is that pathetic, folks? And one of you are going to tell me that. I guess if no one wants to do it, I will. That's a task right there, folks. There is no joy in that job right there. Someone feels obligated to do it. There's no enjoyment in that. Mary was involved in a task. We don't know why. Maybe she felt pressured. Maybe she felt alienated or abandoned by her sister that's listening to Jesus Christ. But some reason she feels like she's taking on a task while Jesus is there. We can understand Martha's frustration, can't we? We've been there before. We feel pressured. We feel abandoned. We feel alienated. We're at a family gathering and someone says a joke and we didn't hear what the punchline was because we're in the kitchen getting things prepared. We're somewhere else at an event and people are laughing and we think, oh, I wish I could be a part of that. I remember one Thanksgiving at a family gathering, I was into a football game and I got called to carve a turkey. And so I was carving the turkey and all of a sudden I heard the crowd go, ah! And at the last second, one team had won. It had just been a wonderful game. And after that, my turkey carving did not look good because I was angry. You know, I wanted to be a part of that. We can understand Martha's frustration. We know what it's like to be in a position where something else is going on and we want to be a part of it. But she says these words to Jesus. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And with these words, Martha has created a non-hospitable attitude. Not only does she isolate her sister, she also isolates Jesus. She says, why are you doing this to me? And then she turns to Jesus and says, why are you allowing her to do this to me? And she creates an attitude of non-hospitality there. A lack of hospitality, folks, can be a deal breaker for a church. It really can. If we're not showing an attitude of hospitality in the life of the church, it can really be a deal breaker for newcomers and visitors. I was in a church one time where I saw a disturbing trend, and that was, we had lots of visitors that would come one time, and then they wouldn't come back. And so I always made it a habit to find out who the visitors, the newcomers are, and to get by to see them as soon as possible. And a couple of them would tell me, we're not coming back to the church. Well, why not? We enjoyed the worship service. We enjoyed the singing. We enjoyed the sermon. We enjoyed the people being around, and when we got to the time of refreshments and conversations, not a single person talked to us. That is a non-hospitable attitude, folks. It should be a priority to speak to our visitors and newcomers at the end of a worship service. Maybe you've seen something like this. You have an event like the potluck next week following the worship service, where we all sit with our friends, and here's a visitor over here sitting by themselves at a table. That's a non-hospitable attitude, folks, and a lack of hospitality can kill a church. One of the things you'll learn this from me, I don't get mad very often, but this will infuriate me. If we have someone who has been coming to the church for 2 or 3 weeks, a fairly recent visitor or newcomer, and they want to get involved in the life of the church, and we don't let them, and they leave. I had one time where there was a big event going on in the life of the church, and there was a couple that had been coming there for about 2 or 3 weeks, and they said, well, we'd like to get involved. And I said, well, I'd like you to get involved. And went over to the chairperson and said, well, these people want to do this. And she said, well, we've already got that covered, but thank you for offering. They left. Did I ever see them again? Never saw them again. Lack of hospitality can kill a church, folks. And I've seen it take its toll on the presence and in the lives of people. Mary is doing the right thing. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only one need for one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Folks, you and I, especially in this day in which we have so many distractions in our lives, you and I need to take time to listen to Christ's voice. Whatever that may look like, whether we find time for a daily discipline like the upper room or some type of spiritual discipline, whether we spend more time praying, whether we spend more time connecting or meditating or calling on the Lord or reading our scripture, we have to find time in our lives to listen for Christ's voice. John Wesley believed that the Methodist Church had two priorities, and more than two, but these were priorities for holy conferencing and for social action. And so we become a church sometimes that does. We like to do things. We like to be involved in the community. We like to do things in the life of the church. But I can promise you this, folks, if we go and do and do and do and do and do and do and don't take any time to listen to Christ's voice, we end up like Martha does. We become angry. We become distracted. So however it is that you do this, folks, figure out a strategy to take time to listen to Christ's voice in your life. Whether you need to set aside some time, whether you need to go somewhere. Sometimes I just want to get away. Anybody else want to just get away? You know, we conform to escapism. We want to get away. Well, get away if you need to get away. But figure out a way in which we can sit and listen to what Christ is calling us to do. And we'll be much better people for it. Will you pray with me? Lord, you have called us to this place and to this time to hear your word. So allow us not only to hear your word, Lord, but to heed your word and to make a space and a time to communicate with you. We thank you, Lord, for these words in which you have taught us that even in the midst of our busyness and even in the midst of our distractions, that you call us to hear your voice. So, Lord, I ask not only for myself, but for others, that you would allow us to know and to strategize a way in which we can do that. Give us time to read our scriptures. Give us time to, and allow us to make the time, Lord, to hear your voice through prayer and through meditation and through your holy word. And Lord, give us that nudge. Keep on us, Lord, to make that time to hear your voice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.